watch the series there. Well, God is sending this guy on a journey, a young lady with him, and he is suggesting things to them that he wants to use them and do things, incredible things in their life. And I want to tell you today that God wants to use you. Let your neighbor say, God wants to use you. In this show, this guy and this young lady are sent on journeys that they don't know anything about. And through social media, there are friend suggestions that they are being sent to help them and for sometimes for them to receive help. These suggestions are normally people that they don't know, people that they are encountering. One guy he saved, I don't want to ruin the show for you if you hadn't watched it, he saved him from, I think his girlfriend broke up with him and he was going to run headfirst into a train and he went and grabbed him. Had no idea why God sent him in that direction. Do you not know that every day that God is sending us suggestions based off things we should do? How many on social media here? Just show of hands. Hey, you ever noticed anything that there's always people, it has a suggestion thing that says people you may know? And if, anytime anybody sends me a friend request, I want to see who are we friends with together, because I don't want to walk into no craziness. You know what I'm saying there? Or if you suggested me to be friends, I want to know why are you suggesting this? And I look this up. Facebook, they do this thing called analytics where they search your work, your mutual interests, and your mutual friends. And they suggest friends based off things that you do. So when you see these people show up, that's the reason they're showing up there. They also have this thing called predictive analytics. I had the craziest, I don't know if I can use this word, one of the freakiest things that ever happened to me. I don't know if that's the word I should use or not. But my backpack, the zipper broke off of it. And I was in Starbucks, and I just said to myself with my phone sitting right here, I need to get a new backpack. I pull up Instagram, and I see commercials. I didn't type in a search. I said, what in the world? These folks listening to everything. Last Sunday, we both got new phones, and Barbara said, I don't have the picture that has the Wi-Fi passcode on it. She said, can you forward me the photo? I did the face thing, would recognize my face, and I opened up my phone, and it said, send Barbara Wi-Fi passcode, and I pushed the button. I didn't search it. It heard her from across the house, and I pushed the button, and she said, Jason, I didn't even read the thing. I just pushed the button, and it logged me on by itself. I don't know what social media got going on. Is the mark of the beast? Is Jesus coming back? Thank you, it worked. But do you not know that every day of your life, God is studying you? And through the power of something called suggestion, he's predicting things that are going to, there's a path that you can take in life. He's leading you in certain paths. He studies you. He knows you. Do you not know that you are nowhere by happenstance? That even, I told you last week, even if your situation is not ordained, you are. That's why you can prosper in the land of your affliction. Because the blessing doesn't know a zip code. Doesn't matter where you are in life, God has a way of prospering you. And he is making suggestions every day of your life to send you into a place. So I found a scripture in the Bible because I love the way social media does this. But God does it too in scripture. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 17, and you can turn there with me. There was a guy by the name of Elijah. He was on the run from an evil woman named Jezebel. And there was a drought that had been proclaimed in the land. And God told, through suggestions, because you know that is how God speaks to you, right? He suggests certain things. I think you should do here. I think you should go this way. Why don't you apply here? Why don't you speak to that person? And he said, Elijah, I'm going to sustain you. So he sent him to a brook. And he said, I've commanded a raven to feed you. And the raven, anybody got Bible readers in here? The raven fed him every day until the brook dried up. Anybody have had a brook dry up in your life? Things that you thought were going to work forever and God sent you in another path. So God said, watch this. I have commanded a widow woman to sustain you. So 1 Kings chapter 17 picks up right here where he's on this journey. Number one, the raven was commanded to sustain him. Now, there's a widow woman that's been commanded. Let's read it. First Kings 17:18 says, then the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. That's your Bible, your smartphone, highlight that. It said, I have commanded a widow woman to provide for you. He said, so he rose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, "Please get me a little water in a jar that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a piece of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in a bowl and a little oil in the jar." And if you from the country like we are, that's how you make hot water cornbread, right? "And behold, I'm gathering a few sticks that I may go and prepare for me and my son that I may eat and die." Then Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go do as I have said, but make a little bread, make a little hot water cornbread from it first and bring it to me. And after you have made one for yourself and for your son, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exalted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth." Look to your neighbor and say, "You will not go out empty." Tell them your broke days are over. Tell somebody they didn't believe you. Tell somebody else your broke days are over. Y'all must have all the resources y'all need on this side. Did anybody over here say, "My broke days are over? My lonely days are over"? Yeah, somebody got that. So she went and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days. The bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke to through Elijah. Talk to you about the power of suggestion for a moment. The first thing about the power of suggestion, can I say this to you? Make sure the suggestion you follow is from God. Some people were sent, and some just went. These days, everybody is hearing from God. Everybody's got a grand suggestion. But not everybody that shows up at your door is from God. Single ladies, he may knock and say, "God sent me," but you better check. Everything that glitters is not gold. You all right in here? Make sure it's God sending you whenever you go somewhere. Because some of us do stuff just to make ourselves feel good about ourselves, or we see somebody else doing something and we say, "I can do that too." Watch this. Life has its own reality test built in. Some of the best advice I ever got, Crystal, before I ever start pastoring, is said, "Jason, preaching is just a part of what it takes to pastor. You got to know how to lead. You got to know how to deal with people." Do I got any people in the room in here? How many of y'all have mood swings in here? How many of y'all look at y'all self in the mirror some days and like, "What in the world are you thinking?" You all right in here? To lead people takes a lot out of you. That's why you just don't jump up and just do all kind of stuff. You just don't wake up tomorrow and say, "I'm going to start a business," and you can't even budget your own income. When you go somewhere, you have to make sure that it is God who sent you. Because there will be days that will make you question yourself, question your faith in God. Anybody ever been there before and say, "God, are you sure this is what you want me to do?" God made a suggestion to Elijah. He sent him to a widow woman. He didn't know the details of her situation. He didn't know what was going on. All he knew was, he said, "I have commanded her to sustain you." Now watch this. You heard me read the scripture. When he showed up, this woman had like God ain't said nothing to her. He said, "Bring me some water." And he said, "Bring me a little of that hot water cornbread." She said, "I'm going to make some for my son, and we are going to die." Now, does that sound like somebody who's heard from God? People who hear from God, you think they be shouting and jumping? No, no. This woman was making plans to die. What happens when God sends you to a place and it looks nothing like what you thought it was going to look? Here's one of the craziest things that I found out in life. Reality is never as pretty as your dream. But I believe God uses frustration in reality to get you to dream again. There are some places that God will send you that looks nothing like what you thought, but God's using that place to propel you. This voice, this power of suggestion, watch this, it works both ways. Not only does God suggest, but Satan suggests. I bought a computer here recently, and I had a McAfee trial on it, but I bought my own antivirus software. And it, when I log on every day, it says scan, run, computer clean. Well, and I was in the middle of making a search last night on my computer, and it popped up. "Are you sure you want to search this site, or do you want to renew with McAfee?" My computer was making a suggestion based off fear, but I'd already heard that it already had been scanned. Many of you have already heard a word from the Lord, and Satan sends a word behind it. "Are you sure?" The word says, "By his stripes, I'm healed, but I feel this pain in my side." The word said, I'll supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. But I heard they laying off folks on the job. The word says God's going to take care of you. The righteous will never be forsaken. The seed will never beg bread. But your child came home past curfew last night. I don't care what Satan suggests. When you choose to believe the word of the Lord, it overrides every suggestion of the enemy. Some of you are sitting in here today, and Satan is suggesting things. He's telling you you're not going to make it. He's saying your things are not going to work out. But whose report will you believe? I tell you what, I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. His report says I'm blessed. His report says I'm healed. I don't care what's going on in my life. I believe the report of the Lord. Can I testify for you, Mother Jones? Thank you. Her daughter said, yeah, I can. I'm going to take Lisa with me when I travel. Just be my amen. She was in the hospital. She was dehydrated. Her kidneys were not working. And they put her on dialysis. Her daughter said, this is going to be a short-term thing. And people said, no, it's not a short-term thing. She texted me this week and said, Mom's dialysis is ended. Her kidneys are working. When God makes you a promise, he will defy medical odds. He will align heaven and earth with his word, because when God says it, you got to choose whose suggestion you will believe. She's sitting in here today. Kitten is working. Why? Because God is a healer. He's still healing. Here's the thing about God's suggestions. God wants to connect you with people based on needs that he knows about. Opportunities you don't even know exist. Based on a supply that you're holding on to so that he can create endless possibilities. God's suggestions lead to God connections where he wants to show you the power of partnership. Somebody say the power of partnership. Let me give you a couple things about the power of partnership. Is this. The power of partnership releases commanded blessings. Watch this. He said, I've commanded her to sustain you. Do you not know that there are people that God has spoke to and says, they may not even like you, but they have to bless you. There are certain things that I don't care what happens in life. God says, this is going to happen in your life. You are walking into tailor-made blessings on your life because God said, I have commanded her to sustain you. Now watch this. This went against the grain of what I was used to when it comes to giving. Most of the giving, I'll be honest, when I was first started out preaching, I was a minister and I went to an elder and we would go to meetings. They said, I need every ordained elder to give me $150. That's all I had. Sometimes I had 100, and I would go out to the bathroom just coincidentally doing offering many times. I remember this one service in particular, man, this prophet came in town, and I'm all for giving. And this prophet said, how many of y'all have $1,000 in your savings account? And boy, I was so glad. It's my first job. I got $1,000 in my savings account. He said, stand to your feet. I'm so proud of you. Well, we stood to our feet. I'm sitting there glistening. And he said, do me a favor. Write me that check for $1,000. I feel like, womp, womp. Are you for real? God ain't spoke to me. And in that moment, I felt pressure. Here's the thing about God giving. You don't have to manipulate your way into anything. God will never manipulate you. He will never scare you into giving, not one bit. When it comes to giving, God says, I will command you on what to give. Matter of fact, God said, I'll give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. He said, I have commanded her to bless you. Let me tell you something in life. You don't have to manipulate your way into any blessing. What God has for you, it is for you. You don't have to coerce your way. You don't have to connive your way. You don't have to lie your way. You just got to be good at what you do. And God said, I'll open up a door that no man can close. That makes sense to anybody in here? The power of mutual respect. And I try not to be as political as I could, but I wish someone would send this message to the White House, to the government. To every person who leads anybody. Whenever you partner with somebody, there has to be a level of mutual respect, not just for people who look like you, people who come from your background, people who are used to whatever you're used to. In order for you to connect, there has to be a level of mutual respect. In partnership, in marriage, men can't think they're better than women and expect certain things to happen. Y'all heard me say this all the time. You can't treat me like an idiot and expect me to act like a genius. You all right in here? God sent her to a woman that was about to die, but he had to walk in a level of respect with her. One of the things, if everybody who wants to lead in here, if I could say this. You have to lead all people, not just people who think like you, not just people who vote like you, not just people who look like you. You have to have a level of respect because God loves humanity. And you have to have mutual respect in order to pull the best out of people. Nobody wants to connect with somebody who they feel like is trying to change them into what they feel like they should be. I want you to figure out who I am and push me in that direction. Somebody say mutual. Y'all right in here? It has to be mutual respect. And the reason why many of us miss our blessing is we're too busy sizing up people to connect with them. And God said, I want you to open your mind, your understanding, because there are people that I'm going to connect you with. You don't have to agree with all of them. And here's the craziest part about many of us. We expect to be friends with everybody who God uses in our lives. You expect to like everybody who God uses in your life. There's some folk, when they bless you, they didn't like you before, and they won't like you after. But you ain't there to be friends. I'm just here to get what God has for me. Y'all right in here? Y'all right in here? That's how it, just right there. Let me get where I'm going. The power of partnership reverses negative situations. She had plans to die until she connected with a word from God. Some of you are like that woman. You don't know what's going on in your life right now. You're saying, God, if you don't speak to me today, I got this. I'm dressed up today. I got all things going on, but I need to hear from you today. I want to let you know today that God has something set up today to turn your situation around. One connection turned her negative situation around. The power of partnership will reverse any curse in your life. I don't care what you're going through, and I don't care how you got there. God says something great is going to happen to you, and it's going to turn things around. I don't know who I'm talking to in here, but anybody needs God to turn some stuff around. Lift your head to heaven and say, God, turn it around. Tell them, God, turn it around. You have no idea who you're sitting beside. You don't know who knows about a job in here. You don't know what anybody, you don't know what God has loaded in your neighbor, but God set you up today to see your situation turned around. Thing about partnership is this: you could be one connection away from your entire life changing. One connection away. If you're single, your boo could be sitting there. God said Planet Fitness just opened on Church Street, and you said, Lord, I've been thinking about working out. You have no idea. God may not be sending you in there to work out in the treadmill, but it could be the man fixing the treadmill, the man that sold him the treadmill. You don't have no idea. One connection can change your life forever. Can I just talk about her for a minute? I heard this lady when I didn't like big crowds. I'm an introvert, and my friends took me to AIM. And one year I heard this lady singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow. I said, didn't they sing that at Annie? She sung Somewhere Over the Rainbow, and she sung Changed. I was nervous to praise God in front of people because I didn't shout like everybody else. And I looked down the row and see who was looking at me. I was nervous to cry and lift my hands in front of people and been in church my whole life. But here I am in the middle of this crowd. I didn't care who was looking at me. I felt like skipping. I felt like running because God used this lady right here to break me out of a shell and said, you have no shame in praising God. One encounter changed my life. You have no idea what you're holding back on could change somebody's life for the rest of their life. Somebody say, one connection. One connection. He taught her how to win. Do you know that somebody, y'all got some spades players in here? I know y'all shouting and doing all this stuff. I know that's, somebody can win with the hand you're losing with. Y'all ain't want to shout on chains, but y'all shout on spades. Somebody can take that hand where you call three books. And they can call seven, and one might, a spade may walk. Why? When you know what you're doing, you don't have to have much. But little becomes much when you put it in the right hands. And some of you are asking for more when all God needs to give you is wisdom to use what you got. I feel like preaching for a moment. Look at your neighbor and say, you can win with the hand you've been dealt. You don't need anything else. You just need wisdom. Because little becomes much when you place it in the master's. Hey. All right, y'all sit down. I done lost a little weight, so I got a little more wind now. God's suggestions leads to possibilities that are unlocked by a seed. Nothing would have happened had she not cooked him the oil, the bread, and she not given him water. It's not enough from here to hear from God, but you got to do what he said with what you got. You all right in here? Because every suggestion leads to a release of a seed that has an assignment. And I want to tell you something in here. Your seed is a prophetic promise for your future. You don't change by what you make. You change by what you give and what you sow. One seed can change your life for the rest of your life. Can I ask you a question? What if your future is being held hostage because you won't release your seed? What if he went to her and said, cook me some bread. She said, I have nothing but. What if your nothing but is holding you back? You're saying, God, I want to start a business, but I ain't got nothing but a Facebook account. I ain't got nothing but a few recipes. Do you not know that millionaires have been made off social media because they got the goods? God, I ain't got nothing but a church out here in Christianity. But do you not know they have Facebook Live that can hear us around the world? And all it takes is one person that's happened before to hear about something going on and send us a check that we can pay off stuff with without having any debt. You all right in here? It just takes one connection when you release your seed. And most of us won't release it until we feel everything is perfect. Watch this. You perfect yourself as you go along in your process. What if you're holding your seed hostage because you won't release your seed? Watch this. Notice what he asked her for. He said, make me some bread. Notice what she said. I have nothing but flour and oil. He asked her for the finished product, not what she was holding in her hand, her potential. Many of us are drunk off potential. And God said, I want to tell you what you're going to become. He didn't ask her for flour and oil because flour and oil don't do anything until you put heat to it. God said, I want to take your potential. Have you not noticed that it seems like sometimes God ignores you? And what you're praying for, he answers you with something else. Because God answers you with what he wants to do, not where you are right now. I was so frustrated one day, and I said, God, I need you to do this, and I need you to do that. And somebody was sitting here at the church with me, and something came through, and I said, you would not believe this. We needed this portable in the back. We needed the air fix back here. And somebody, I was praying for something that was frustrating me, but God answered in the form of a check that paid all of it off in just a couple of minutes. Can I tell you that God may not answer the way you want him to answer, but he knows what you need. You pray right now, but God knows what's coming later. So you need to trust the process that when you sow your seed, don't let yourself be held hostage by not sowing your seed. Am I making sense in here? The next thing is this. Your seed will always come back to you. Can I say that again? Your seed will always come back to you. I think one of the most foolish things people say is don't give to get. Do you sow a seed and not expect the harvest? Here's the challenge. You may not get what you sowed, but it's going to come back. It may not come back in money, but it's going to come back. It may not come back in what you sowed, but it's going to come back. And it may not even come back from where you sowed it, but it's going to come back. This woman, her seed came back to her in a way that she never imagined. Can I show you something that I'm through? 1 Kings 17:17 says, now it came about after these things, that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became sick. And his sickness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, watch this, what happens. Whenever bad things happen, guilt always arises. She said, what have I to do with you, O man of God? You have come to bring my iniquity to remembrance and to put my son to death. How many of you, when bad things have happened, all your sin, all your bad stuff has come up and you say, God is paying me back? And Satan will fool you into believing that God's the one that gives people cancer. God's the one tearing things up. God's the one taking jobs. God can't give you what he don't have. You all right in here? And Satan will play a guilt complex on you to make you think all the things you've done are coming back to you later for that. God said, not so. Verse 19 says this. He said to her, give me your son. Then he took him from her bosom, and carried him up to an upper room where he was living, and laid him on his bed. And he called to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, have you also brought calamity to the widow? Elijah, some situation, he began to question God, who I'm now staying with by causing her son to die. Verse 21 says, then he stretched himself upon the child 3 times and called on the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray you, let this child's life return to him. Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child returned to him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child, brought him down from the upper room into the house, and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son is alive." I want to tell you that when you release your seed, I don't know how it's going to come back. But whatever you're doing, it's going to come back some way or the other. It may not come back where you sowed it. This woman, she had no idea that God was setting her up. She thought God was just causing her supply to multiply. She had no idea down the road her son was going to die. And the same one that God used to multiply her flour and oil is the same one that brought her son back to life. You have no idea who God is setting you up. Be careful who you're mean to. Be careful who you have an attitude with. You could be sitting next to the person who God is going to use to bless you, but if you've been nasty to them their whole life, they got a decision to make. Can I tell you, you have no idea you've entertained angels unaware? When God tells you to sow, that's why it pays to be nice to everybody, because you never know who you're going to need. I want to tell all of y'all here, don't ever burn a bridge. Don't ever treat people any kind of way. Don't you forget where you came from. Don't you get here and now look at people and say, "I can't believe they're doing that. Old rats love cheese too." You still got the ability to sin. You still got the ability to cuss. You still got the ability to do everything you ever did. Don't you ever look your nose down on somebody who's sinning different than you sin. It comes back. You don't know how. All I want to tell you is don't stop being faithful. Don't stop doing what God told you to do, because your seed is going to come back. And I feel in the moment, there's some things that you sowed, Crystal, that are going to come back. Years of things and memorial things that are going to come back in a good way. There's some seeds. Many of you, you've done some great things for people, and you feel like God has forgotten. God, I've done all these great things, but God said, it's coming back. You're going to say it in ways you never met. It may not come back in the form you sowed it, but it's going to come back, because the favor of God is on your life. I'm through. Every seed sown, I love happy endings. Don't you love happy endings in movies? Every seed sown based on God's suggestions ends in success. Verse 24 ended like this. Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know. God done stretched the flour and oil. She's making hot water cornbread for everybody. She's about to die. Now she's living. Son came back to life." It's something. You know, money and resources are one thing, but children and things close to you are another. God raised that boy back from the dead, and she said, "Now I know." Can I tell you that God's about to give you a "now I know" miracle? God's about to send something in your life. You're going to say, "God, I've seen it from a distance. I've heard about it, but now I know." She said that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. God's going to make a believer out of you, and he's going to send something in your life that's going to make you say without a shadow of a doubt, "I know that it's real. It's real in my soul today." That you may be a skeptic, you may be doubting, but I'm telling you, I don't know who I'm talking to. God is about to honor his word in your life, and there's some things that you thought would never happen. There's some doors you thought would never open. God said, "I'm about to do it," because every seed you sow based on a God suggestion is always going to end in success. Stand to your feet all over the building. I don't know who I'm talking to here. You may be, I feel it strong in my heart. Man, if I wasn't preaching, I'd be a dog. You are in a situation where you need God to stretch what you have. You need to see God show up. And even be honest, this is not a knock against God or anything. You even having doubts that, "God, are you really going to do this? You said you were, but I haven't seen you come through." And you're saying, "God, I need to see something. God, I want you to use me in an incredible way. Are you sure that you're talking to me? I need you to stretch me. I need you to do some incredible things." And if this word ministered to you today, I want to connect with your faith. I want to see God. I want you to end up like this woman. "Now I know the word of God is true." And you're in that place today and you say, "God, I need you to do something in my life." I want you to come from wherever you are all over the building. I want to connect with your faith. No shame. Just come wherever you are. I want to connect with you. Just come. "Now I know." You want that to be your testimony. "Now I know that the word of the Lord is truth." Things that made me question. I've seen you do miracles for others. And listen, I don't care how you got in the situation you're in. Satan would trick you. You got here by yourself, so you need to stay here. The devil is a liar. Your purpose has survived your mistakes. Purpose is greater than anything you're dealing with. And I want to let you know today that God's going to prove himself to you. As you sow, whatever you do, sowing your seed is not just financial. Some of you sowing your seed is going back to work tomorrow with a good attitude. Some of you, your seed is loving when you feel like cussing. No, I'm serious. Some of your seed is forgiving and releasing stuff. Some of your seed is saying, I'm sorry, admitting where you're wrong. But whatever seed God is requiring for you to sow, some of you is letting go of that bitterness. I want you to lift your hands at this altar. Father, I thank you. You're going to prove yourself. You're going to prove yourself. You're going to prove yourself to us. We're going to see you move. I don't care if you're at the end of your rope today. You say, God, this may be all I have. I'm going to just take this and die. No, you're not. This is not the end of you. Do you not know the end of you? It could be the beginning of a great discovery. That's your seed, and God's about to expand you. I want you to pour your heart out to God. Those of you just seated, if you don't mind just worshiping God with us for a moment. God, you're about to stretch us. Come on, I want you to just talk to God for a moment here at this altar. God, do it. An incredible thing. In the name of Jesus, touch right now. Yes.